You are listening to The Beauty of Divine Grace by Gabriel N. E. Fleur, published by Ligonier Ministries. This book is read by Kyle Tate. To Bob and Pris Jones, Tom and Tammy Wall, and Robbie and Pam Cole, and the congregation of Trinity Presbyterian Church, Travelers Rest, South Carolina, who first taught me to love the doctrines of grace by precept and example, with profound gratitude. Foreword by Derek W. H. Thomas. The formal and formulaic taxonomy of the five solas of the Reformation is a recent phenomenon, mid-20th century, but the existence of the solas in some form or another is apparent as far back as the early church fathers. Spelled out, they insist on five specific truths. 1. The final authority in all matters of faith and practice lies in what Scripture alone, sola scriptura, teaches, apart from any pronouncements of creeds, councils, or the Pope, speaking ex cathedra. 2. Salvation is by grace alone, sola gratia, apart from any consideration of human effort, works, achievement, or cooperation on our part. 3. Further, salvation is by grace alone, through the instrumentality of faith alone, sola fide, faith understood as a non-contributory means, and itself a gift of God. 4. Salvation is in Christ alone, solus Christus. He alone provides the necessary substitutionary obedience to the law, and its penalty that divine justice requires, without any additional merit from us, the medieval sacramental treadmill, deceased saints, or the mediation of Mary. 5. And by way of a general but equally important truth, all the praise for our salvation is ascribed to the glory of God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. In the thinking of the early reformers of the 16th century, these five restrictive statements were set firmly at odds with medieval Roman Catholicism. Subsequent generations took them up with equal force in the 17th century to address the errors of Arminianism. Free will, for example, was viewed as the same generic error as good works or sacramental compliance in Roman Catholicism. If salvation is dependent on our decision, freely made without the giving of a God-enabled ability, through regeneration and the renewal of the will from its inherent bondage to sin, then faith is a work that we contribute, and salvation cannot therefore be by faith alone or by grace alone. Nor, in the last analysis, can it be to the glory of God alone. The five solas thus took on a greater importance in the defense of the groundwork of Reformed and biblical theology. Set ablaze in the Reformation and post-Reformation era, these truths have deep historical roots. Take grace alone, sola gratia, for example. This truth is highlighted in the 5th century in the remarkable conversion of Augustine, recounted in his Confessions. It drew the ire of Pelagius, which occasioned Augustine's anti-Pelagian writings. Sola gratia surfaced again in the experience of Martin Luther as he wrestled with the crippling theology of the medieval church. Justification, he came to understand, must be by grace alone, through faith alone. And as he so painfully confirmed, faith must be given sovereignly by God, for he had tried and failed to accomplish it himself. These five truths are especially relevant in our Western culture, where the prevailing religion has been identified as moral therapeutic deism. This phrase aptly describes folk who believe that our greatest need is to be happy, live decent enough lives, and rest in the idea that everyone is going to heaven. For this religion, a sovereign God is not needed. If he exists, he is absent from the day-to-day concerns of human existence. Furthermore, belief, for example, in an inerrant, authoritative Bible has continued to wane, even in the most conservative seminaries. Worship is frequently offered in churches with hardly a reference to Scripture. What our morally and spiritually declining culture needs
Sample complete. Ready to continue?